present. We have everybody present except for Mike Skolitsky. He's on a business trip today. And the two members of the new governments are here today, Madeline Artek and Eddie Garanda. And I guess I'll introduce, we have three guests here. So I'm Doug Noble, I'm the county supervisor representing Pleasant Prairie.
Amy Guile, I'm with UW Extension.
It's a good one.
I'm Greg Retzloff, county supervisor, Summers.
I'm Erin Decker, county board supervisor.
Teddy Winnett, director, Kenosha County UW Extension.
Jeannie Walensky Christensen, consumer horticulture educator.
Gable, county supervisor.
Eddie Carondale, youth governance.
Eddie Artek, youth governance.
Kathy Sarsi, Bright Spring assistant, and I'll youth governance.
I'm Peyton, and this is my second year of ambassador.
I'm Grace, this is my first year of ambassador.
I'm Paige, this is my second year of ambassadors.
All right, well then, Teddy, I guess we'll start with you with certification compliance and future programs.
Indeed, the meeting was posted on October 30th and again on November 4th. We are in compliance.
Okay, and future program?
Great. I'm going to turn it over to Bethany Sorsi. Tonight we're going to feature 4-H and youth leadership roles, thus the examples of youth leadership right here in front of us. So Bethany?
I'm going to start off with kind of talking about a little bit about 4-H. So I'm going to give you guys what is called the 4-H program guide. And in this is, so what is in this is pretty much all about the 4-H and how to get signed up and how to the clubs and things like that. So if you open it up, it's kind of a guide to how to do 4-H and what we all are and what we can do. So 4-H is open to kindergarten through 13th grade. So that means 1 year past high school. The kindergartners, Kenosha just started joining kindergartners. This will be the second year. So we have seen our membership increase and things like that. So we have a lot of kindergartners that have been joining us, so which is awesome. If you go through it, there's what 4-H is. And what 4-H's mission is to have youth with base research from UW Extension become leaders and members of their society where they live in and work and during school. So the basics is to have youth come up through the community and care. There's 13 different 4-H clubs in Kenosha County, as you can see, and they meet the first 2 weeks of the month on page 3. And what we have listed here is all the gen leaders' names and phone numbers, and that helps in the way of if parents have questions, they can always look at that and call their general leaders. We also give the location where they meet. Also, this is actually on the 4-H website. So if you Googled Kenosha County 4-H, this would be on the website. Along with on the website is actually just one little section that lists all the 4-H clubs as a map and as the individual clubs. So that way you can look and see where the clubs are in relation to you and help you find a 4-H club if you needed one. So I brought with me my little 4-H map. So as you can see, even at the top there, that we have a 4-H club almost entirely throughout Kenosha County. And that is really unique to some 4-H counties where there might not be 4-H clubs on the inner city. And we do have one inner city 4-H club that Holly Meyer oversees, and that's the Brass Bulldogs. And that one is met at Brass Community School. And that one has been in existence for 5 years now, thanks to Holly working in that. And she's gonna talk in December about that one a little bit more, so I'm just gonna skip over that and let her talk about that one. So we have 13 different 4-H clubs. We've tried and gone more inclusive, so as you can see, we got a map here. There's a website, you can get the map, you can get the general leaders. And then as you go through this handbook, you'll see that it's got 4-H terms, because many new parents don't understand 4-H lingo. 4-H is great for acronyms and trying to understand them if you don't already have been in it, or if you haven't had a parent or grandparent that was in it. It's a little confusing and a little scary. So we try and list the acronyms of where things are, like for instance, KCC. Now, if you didn't happen to work at KCC, or you didn't happen to know what KCC meant, you would not know that it meant the Kenosha County Center. So we try and provide that so parents know. As you continue to go, it talks about projects and literature. And then on page 9, if you look, it does a who's who's in 4-H. So it states what a member is, a general leader, a project leader, what parents and guardians, what we're asking from them. And then as you look at the bottom, it says county level, which is ambassadors. Those are some of the youth that you have in front of you tonight. Then there's the board of directors and project teams and resource leaders. And then there's just the general information of what countywide projects there are that you can sign up for, that we definitely have volunteers teaching. And then there's the code of conduct on page 13, which is the Wisconsin code of conduct, and then there's also the Kenosha County UW Extension code of conduct. And what this is just to help youth make sure that they're being the best they can be and doing the best better, as the motto is in 4-H. It talks about projects. And then as you go on page 16 through about 22, it lists all the different projects that Kenosha 4-H offers with volunteers or within the club that they would have leadership in from adults. As you go through, it talks about some of the activities and events that take place that either the council holds or that the office helps support. The camping one, the council supplies money, and the UW Extension 4-H assistant, which is me and Carmelo, we usually plan that and bring in the project leaders that come in and help us with that one. The open house, that is our biggest, one of our bigger events that the council supports, and that the ambassadors support. The ambassadors help guide everybody in when they come in, and they tell them what 4-H is. And then the council is busy writing out names and stuff on the on sticky notes as they come in. And they're also helping them show where the projects are, show where the clubs are, kind of explain what 4-H is and how to enroll. So as you go to the back, you will see that it says new family and existing family for sign up. Now this part is the tricky part. This is only year number 2 that 4-H enrollment has been online. And so last year, there was a huge learning curve, and this year, there's still a little bit of a learning curve. Last year, we had volunteers that were definitely volunteers, but they forgot to sign in because nobody's used to going online and enrolling them stuff. So last year, we had 150 volunteers in Kenosha 4-H, and 630 youth signed up. So far, we have 340 youth enrolled, but we have 175 pending. Now we're still early, because the 4-H year actually begins October 1st and runs through September 30th. So we have quite a few families and stuff that are still going into enroll. So that's the little handout there. Any questions? So the next big thing is with clubs and projects, being able to use the Clover and the 4-H emblem and have access to all this great stuff, they have to fill out a charter. And these charters are actually due November 15th, so they're due Friday. So all of our clubs and projects actually all have them turned in. So what this is accountability. So what it asks for is, who is doing the leadership? When do you meet? Are you handicapped accessible? Again, we're going for inclusiveness. And then it also asks for finances. And the reason they ask for finances is it's making sure that the clubs and projects are operating in within their means of being tax exempt. That the money that they're collecting is the money that they're spending. Because for a nonprofit with USDA, we have to make sure that they are not carrying over money. So they can have one times their budget, and that is it. So if their budget's 150, they can have 300. So simple math. So every group is in charge of filling this out. It gives us location of the banks, the account numbers, things like that. Carmelo and I get the job of going through every single one of these charters and making sure that every line is filled in. And then also working with the clubs and projects to help them meet the summary of their activities that they did, the goals that they set, if there's anything that we can assist. And then also when it comes to, you will see the meeting logistics and stuff. We get lots of emails because we live in Wisconsin. Let's face it, January, February, and March are unknown to anybody. So a lot of meetings get canceled, a lot of meetings get rescheduled. So we have to keep that up to date in order for them to be protected with the volunteer orientation and making sure that they're in the guidelines. The last page is the finance page, and they get audited by somebody other than that's on the account. And then again, Carmelo and I go back through these and double check, and they have to turn in bank statements and the registry so we can make sure that the money is properly placed in the categories that they put it. Any questions on that one? All right. Another thing that we have been working on in the office is trying to make the awards, which the youth get at the end of the year, more inclusive. So there used to be, I wish I had a example of the Stars and Bars packet, that used to be a 15-page packet that you would fill out to see if you earn a Stars and Bars, which is the award process program. For the 4-H. We listened, we had done a needs assessment, and we listened to the youth and to the general leaders of, oh, nobody was turning it in, and we have all these kids doing all this great stuff, and nobody's getting recognized for it. So we asked the youth what they would do, and they said they wanted something short and simple. So John and I sat down and put this together. And what it came down to is a four-page member record form. And what it is check boxes and fill in the blanks. And what actually it also is making kids think about what they learned and what they want to improve on. And general leaders have actually really taken this to heart and read the comments and are trying to improve on some things in their club to make them feel more inclusive, safer, maybe change things up and not always doing the same activities and things like that. The projects have also taken a look at it, of what the kids are asking, what the kids are learning. And then the county participation, I've been asking the general leaders to email me ones that they see that they're writing on the countywide that the council can also go ahead and help do and improve on. So the kids get to turn this in. You'll see that it starts at 25 points. So even our kindergarten or clover buds have a chance to earn one of these, earn a bronze pin. And so then they're recognized at their club level for that. And then there's also what's called the 4-H Awards Night. And that's where we honor the clover buds that are gonna graduate from second grade into third grade. And we also hold the youth that are gonna graduate from year 13 from 4-H. And also we do Clover Awards, which the youth are nominated and they respond to a question. And we hold 1,000 points for the kids that earned 1,000 points to get a plaque too, and we honor retiring general leaders and things like that. So that's the awards night. What we're gonna talk about tonight is the youth leadership portion of 4-H. With the youth leadership portion, when I first got here, I had looked at the clover buds and I had heard a lot from general leaders of there's not any volunteers to teach in my club and we're having a hard time retaining younger members and they never seem to come back that second or third year. So I took a look around and I did my research, and at the time they're having clover bud work nights, which was held in June, July, and August. Well, one problem was fairs in August, so trying to help get the kids' projects done before fair was a little rough. In June and July, families go on vacation. So I noticed that the attendance was maybe 5 to 10 at a time. So over the years, I worked with the volunteers that were running it, trying to figure out better nights. So we switched it to a November meeting, and then January and February. And I had two volunteers that were doing it only them, and the numbers went up to 10 to 20 a night on average. And so when we did the needs assessment, the youth felt that they wanted something more to do. So we recreated the ambassador program. And so it's 8th grade through 13th grade that you can be an ambassador. So you're nominated by your general leader. I send you an application. The youth then fill out the application, send it back in, and we now have two advisors to the ambassador program because it's grown so big, I can't do it all myself. And so the two advisors and myself sit down and read through the applications to make sure the youth are going to be committed. The youth teach 5 different times. They also hold a family fun night for K through 5th graders at Paris School. They also work the Clover Bud booth at the fair where you, if you come in through the blue and gold buildings where we promote 4-H, they also work the open house, they help with awards night, and they help with arts and communications. So they have a lot of stuff on their plate that they're taking leadership for. And so we want to make sure they're committed because it takes a lot of hands on deck to get us through. So with that being said, we continue to grow the ambassador program, and along with that, the Clover Bud program grew too. So last year, the average attendance for the Clover Bud program was 45 youth a night, and those were 4 Clover Bud meetings that we had. So we had 45 youth. That's 45 K through 2nd graders. Can you, everybody, imagine 45 K through 2nd graders trying to get them corralled and into their projects and where they belong? We have a ton of youth that have great skills, so we leave it to them. We actually ask the parents to leave the hearing room because we don't have enough room. And that is where I have switched my role of the advisors help the youth, and I go and work with the parent, the new parents. So I do a new parent orientation in November, kind of talk about what 4-H is, what you can expect throughout the year. And then in January, I touch on a little bit about the things that are coming up, like arts and communication, that, oh, your kid can definitely do it. Just because they're a kindergartner doesn't mean they can't do it. In February, we start to talk about how do you fill out this? What does qualify? And then in March, I kind of open up to any questions. Some parents have questions about FAIR. What does that mean? Okay, now my kid's a 2nd grader, they're going into 3rd grade. What does that mean? What can I do? Things like that. So that's kind of how it grew. So last night, we had, how many of you ambassadors were there?
Ambassadors?
Yeah, how many ambassadors? Is there 8 of you? 10 of you? I think there was 10 of you last night. We had 60 Clover Buds last night. We have 64 Clover Buds enrolled in the program right now. So almost every Clover Bud was at the meeting last night, which is awesome. So I did look at our statistics, and we are retaining those first, second, and third grade. I only have last year's numbers because, again, we switched programs. And so last year we had 83 Clover Buds. And out of those 83, we had 55 return. And that, and you gotta remember, not everybody's registered yet either. So I'm projecting that that number will grow. And so I'm gonna keep track for now because it's gonna be one of my success stories as I go for longevity. So I am magically going to turn you all into Clover Buds. So you can take if you want to be a kindergartner, a first grader, or a second grader, but you are now magically all kindergartners, and I'm going to introduce your ambassadors. So, Grace, you guys go for it.
Okay, so when we first start out, everybody gets a name tag when they walk in, so all you guys are going to get a name tag. Okay.
Then you also get, usually give out like little, I don't know what to call these, that's what you call these.
We usually give them a little worksheet or something to work on as we're waiting for the kids to come in. So we start at 6:30 at night, and it goes till 7:30, so it's an hour, so we try and get the kids in and out so they can go to bed knowing that they're younger. You can just go ahead and hand them out. You don't have to put them together. It's normally what we do.
You guys all get crayons, too.
Yeah. Give them crayons to work with.
I'm a kindergartner, don't I eat crayons?
Yeah. You can if you want to eat it. You definitely can. So normally, most kids start arriving about 6:15, so we don't want them to sit there and get a little antsy, so we give them a little worksheet to work on to help pass the time. And also give them a chance to talk with somebody next to them, introduce themselves. So we kind of also use it as a social piece to get you going. So you walk in the door, the kids get a name tag, we help hang out their coats. They get this. We have some ambassadors registering them. Some ambassadors are inside saying, come sit at this table. You can go sit at this table.
Just fill this little.
Keeping us active so we're not beating up on each other.
Give them around 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or however long they've been there. And then we like line them up into a row, and getting clover buds into a row is like kind of hard because they don't like staying in one place. But when they're in their row, we all introduce ourselves. So we like say our position in ambassadors
and the club we're in
and our names and our years in ambassadors. And then we count them off. So there's usually around three projects, and each project has one different person like teaching that project. So every month we have a Cloverbug get together. Somebody new teaches a project. So last night was our first Cloverbug meeting.
Yep.
And everybody did Christmas or like winter holiday stuff. So today we're gonna make reindeer candy cane because that was my project last night. And then we did two snowman projects.
Yeah.
Yep. But when we count them off, then we do the 4-H pledge and the Pledge of Allegiance. So that's what we're gonna do. And you guys all got green papers. So when we say the 4-H pledge first, and then you guys are supposed to say it back. And they usually don't know it, so we try to teach them.
That's why they have the paper to help with
it. So we're going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, we brought a little one, too.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we're going to say it first, and then you guys have to repeat it back to us. Okay.
Sure. So, eyes my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living, for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
Okay, it's your turn.
I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living, for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
So after we do this, the kids are still, you guys can sit down. All the kids are in a line, and we separate, or when we count them out, they're supposed to remember their number on their hand. And there's three different groups, so they go to different tables, and when they go to different tables, they usually still have their worksheets, so we like collect them or help them finish. And we don't start, usually we don't start until the papers are done. But then at a certain time, we all start the projects, and they usually get 15 minutes to work on their projects. So you have to make the projects like longer, but not too long where the kids can't finish them.
It's so tricky some nights.
Yeah.
So you guys can start?
Okay, so our first project, since there's not, because we have 60, I usually have 60 clover buds, and there's only nine. We're just gonna pretend this is one group. So our first project is, Grace is gonna, our first project is the reindeer. So you guys all should have pipe cleaner, a pencil, and a
paper. In case you're wondering, this is what we're gonna make.
Usually for our project, for like one of our groups, we do this like in like one of our like meetings, and we send them to the senior citizens at the senior center. They get them with their meals, and they always send us back thank you cards saying that they want us to do it again. So we've done our project for like however long. Okay, so first you guys all have pipe cleaners. So you take your pipe cleaner and you...
It's the brown thing.
And you like wrap it around, like you start at the top or you can start at the bottom, it doesn't
matter. Like you normally do. So normally there's one leader that's in charge of the project and the rest are helpers. So normally the ambassadors will float so around the table and be like, oh, do you need help? Let me help you get started. So.
And we never finish it for them because they get really mad. So you first like start at the top or the bottom, like at the top of the pipe cleaner, and you wrap it around the pencil until like it's ended, and it should make like a spiral, like a slinky, or whatever.
Yep, all the way down until you use all of the pipe cleaner.
Like this?
Yep.
Make it as tight or as loose as you want. This is be creative.
She's done this before. She's a 4-H'er from way back.
They didn't have clover buds once.
I'm gonna wait till everybody's done. It's a little kids sample. Okay, is everybody done?
And then you can pull it off.
Not yet.
You can pull it off the pencil when you're done. Which most do you have?
Okay. Straighten out however you want. Like you can keep it really curly, or you can like pull it apart some. And then you guys all have a candy cane, and the first thing you do is like you. Well, we ask the kids where the reindeer antlers go. Some kids say different answers. Like kid last night told me it goes down here. And I said, well, if you want it down there, you can have it down there. But it usually goes up here, so we take the pipe cleaner and we fold it in half, or around folding it in half, and we just like fold it, and then you twist it really, really, really tight so it stays.
Just really tight. Good job.
So cute.
Don't worry if it doesn't stay, we'll fix that. So it should look like this, or however you want it. So after that,
oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
After that, we don't let the little kids touch the hot glue, because that's very dangerous. So you guys all have red bowls with red noses and two googly eyes So you're going to grab two googly eyes and one red nose. And when you're done doing that, you bring it up to one of the ambassadors or Beth, and she's going to glue it for you. So come on up when you have your glue it.
You can actually get two eyes on this little guy.
Yeah,
we make it.
It's tricky, but yeah.
It's tricky. Some little kids usually put one eye on.
Cyclops.
So where would you like your nose?
That's what we ask.
So we ask everybody, where would you like your nose? So there's two of us, so go ahead and come.
I usually
two lines.
So
don't touch it right away. It's hot.
Well,
they're very sad.
So where would you like your eyes?
Thank you.
There you go. Where would you like your nose?
Which way should I go?
Okay.
Your eyes.
Okay.
You want three eyes on
yours?
That's what.
Sure. Sure. Every kid creates their own. That's what we're trying to tell them.
Create their whole candy cane with eyes.
Make them
laugh
their
answers. No, they did last night.
But we usually like.
Right,
candy
cane,
don't
like,
touch them because
it's 12.
All right,
I take
that's
where
I'm gonna.
Oh,
I'm not gonna
see. Like, where would you like your nose?
Thank you.
All right,
where's
your eyes?
However you want. Right here.
Yeah.
No, where do you want to be? Above it.
Above it.
I mean, some kids
have their eyes below their nose.
They don't go a little cross.
It's fun though. It's fun seeing the creativity coming out of the kids.
Yes, they have a lot of
creativity.
They're probably glued too tight.
These are low.
They're not too high.
No, they're the low glue guns.
These things burnt me last night.
Okay, how did you get burnt? Okay,
but
I
click
your eye.
So how many glue guns did you have going last night for 60 kids?
Three.
Only three?
Only three. We only had
three.
Well, they had them broken up in three groups.
We had like
oh, that's right. You only had a third of the group doing this at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
We only did like three. We only had like three people at the table helping the kids.
Gotcha.
So then it was basically the other, like two of them would float around.
Gotcha,
and
yeah.
Then if nobody else needed help, we'd come.
We're like
and
good. So you're prepared for those. You know how to handle those large crowds.
Good.
I came out of a meeting. I was in this room in a meeting, and when I came out.
And it was insanity. When my son came home and said there were 60 kids, and I'm like, oh, thank God.
I did get a little like, oh, my goodness, there are a lot of children in this place.
A lot of children.
It does get a little
loud.
The scrapbooking group was right next door. And so I knew they were next door. So when I went out, I was like, they had that many kids for scrapbooking? And I was like, oh, it's clover buds. You're all the clover buds.
It does get to be a big crowd, but it's.
They had explorers.
We got all these helpers. So
that was for third graders. Get into 4-H till you're in third grade.
I just want you to be mindful of the time.
Yep.
Okay.
So then we would quickly switch you guys to the next project. So Grace, why don't you start on that? We'll do a real mini on the bunny.
The next project we have is Grace showing the bunny.
Okay, so under the rabbit project, so one thing with rabbits is you want to have a nice long sleeve so you don't get scratched. This is a really heavy duty one. Usually we just wear a light one for show. And then in the rabbit project since I moved up,
since third grade.
Yeah. Third or fourth.
So this is my bunny. She is about a month and a half old. She's a Champagne D'Argent. She is, the neat thing about this breed is when they're born, like I bring my own rabbits, when they're born all black. and then they actually turn into this like gray color. And so she'll eventually get all gray, and then she has the black under her coat. So she's a female, or I'm not named her yet. But rabbits are really easy to take care of. I keep mine outside. You just gotta make sure that you have a wind lock for them. They don't like the wind. If you put them in direct wind, they don't like it. So you wanna make sure you at least have some kind of a wind lock for them. Some people house them inside, some people don't. You wanna make sure that you have something that they can get off the wire on. Like we have the wire. You want to make sure you have, you can buy like plastic things you set on the wire, so that way they can get off of it, and there's this part right here, their hocks don't get sore. That's the hocks, that's what those are called. This little guy has what they call a rollback fur, is here. It doesn't go back into the position that it originally is. The flyback will actually like go straight back to where it was when you roll it, or when you push it back like that. So if you guys want to pet the bunny, she's really nice. She's a little scared right now.
I
would
say scared to death. Yeah.
This is her first time out, so.
So are you taking suggestions for names? Is there any way we could have a name the bunny contest?
I don't care.
Now, the little kids usually ask that.
She's a month and a half.
A month and a half?
Yeah.
So how much bigger will she get?
She'll get about, she can get about from 9 to 11 pounds about. So usually the average female is like 10 and a half to 11 pounds. So they get pretty, and they're bigger rabbits and they're smaller rabbits, like smaller breeds. There's another Lynn.
How old was she when you got her?
I made it, my rabbit. So I have had her since she was a baby.
So you bred the mom
her.
And dad? And
yeah.
Okay.
That's the word I'm looking for. But there's like a small breed. The smallest breed in rabbits is the Netherland Dwarf, which is about the size of this one. Okay. And they stay that size. And then if you really want a big rabbit, you can go with the Flemish Giant, which gets, they're big boys. They can get about this big. Like they're huge. They, when they totally sprawl out, they're like this big. They
like half this table.
Yeah.
They're like half of your table.
Wow.
As a clover bud, could they enroll in a rabbit project?
No.
They cannot.
But
okay.
They can actually, I don't know if it's still going, but they have like, you can take your favorite animal
to the bear.
To the bear. And I did that as a kid. I took my rabbits.
Okay.
So I could take a pig to the fair when I was young.
Yep. So with clover buds, that's one quick thing I'll finish up here. Clover buds is just a project. So that's kindergarten, first, and second. And what that project is to help them maybe figure out what other projects they want to take as they get older. So this is kind of just an intro into 4-H, that there's different crafts you can do, that there's community service, that you can give demonstrations, and that you can join different projects. So that's the basis of the Clover Bud project, is to help them learn what 4-H is, help their parents get through that, and then at the same time, they get to meet other kids their age and start to form friendships as they go through 4-H right away. So one other thing quick, 4-H actually celebrated their 100 years of 4-H this year. So we had a contest, and one of our 4-H members actually drew this sweatshirt. So that was our theme this year for the sweatshirt, was 100 years of making the best better. So that's the horse. So I will turn it back to Tammy.
Any questions about our 4-H program?
We didn't talk about what we learned.
It's okay. We'll save it for later.
So you said there's 10 of you ambassadors? Is that what you said?
There's a total of 15 of them. 10 of them were there last night.
Oh, okay.
And it takes 10, if not more, by the time you split everybody up. And the parents are nice enough to, the ambassador parents, and usually some of the Clover Bud parents, if it's their third year, nicely stick around, and they know, oh, I see that they're busy. They'll quickly get out the juice and the snack, which, by the way, everybody gets snack when they leave. So we get juice and snack. So we have something to tide you over for your next meeting, if you like.
Now that we've had one.
So.
Girls, real quickly, why did you decide to become an ambassador?
Okay.
I decided to become an ambassador so I could work on my like leadership skills and my thinking strategies and how to become more efficient, I guess, with little kids.
That's
remarkable. And I like to do a whole bunch of community service.
Thank you.
As an ambassador, I do a whole bunch of that.
I guess I was at a meeting when they announced that they were looking for a new ambassador. I guess I just kind of wanted to, I want to be the one who like helps the little kids. They're the ones who sit there and they go, I don't have no friends, you know, or nobody talks to them. I want to be the one who just kind of, so I want to get more where I can communicate with the little kids and not just do it all for them, and then they get frustrated or something. I want to be the one who can lead them. So.
Good.
I joined Ambassadors because I love little kids, and I don't care if they're like have attitudes or stuff. I can get along with them because I'm kind of like that sometimes. So, like, I just like working with little kids and working on projects, and I love doing like art and crafts. So I think I joined Ambassadors just because of that, but just 4-H in general, I love. Me and Peyton, we're twins. We've shown sell pigs at Kenosha County Fair, and I think I heard about Ambassadors through that, and I don't know, I just love it. So I'm going to do it until I'm a senior?
No,
freshman in college.
And yesterday she was telling me that the biggest thing she's learned so far is patience.
Oh, patience and strategy skills.
How do you manage all those kids?
I love that. Strategy
very
skills.
Careful.
I'm going to remember that. That's a good one.
Because,
strategy skills.
Like, I accidentally broke hers. But if I broke, like, one of the little kids, they would have, like, by now were yelling at me. And they wanted a new candy cane. So they get that, and then like kids will be like, can we eat this? So like I did, I gave you guys all candy canes that you could eat. Because the little reindeer are so cute. And they're hard to eat.
Well, thank you guys.
Thank you all very much. Very much. Thank you for sharing your talents. Yeah, that's great. Good. All right. We can go on to educator and program updates.
All right, I'll start. We are wrapping up 1 year with the Kenosha County Energy Team, so we're very excited. We've been meeting monthly, so I put together a little update on some of our milestones. Any of you that aren't familiar with the Energy Team, this is a group from finance, facilities, We Energies, Focus on Energies, and then UW Extension. So it's internal stakeholders and also external stakeholders, and we formed a team so that we can start assessing our energy use here in the county facilities. So our milestones, we established the team in December 2013. We completed one energy audit of the Kenosha County Detention Center. We have two more slated for the next couple months. We'll be doing KCC and then the Public Safety Building. Energy data entered into EPA Energy Star Portfolio Manager. That's the software that's provided free of charge where you can log your energy use over a 3-year history so that you can start looking at your buildings and figuring out how they're performing. And we've secured two grants in the matter of a year. One was for the Energy Star Portfolio Manager. We hired an intern to help us with our data, and we also just secured a $10,000 LED lighting project that's being installed as we speak. On the reverse, I showed just a little bit about where our buildings are and as far as energy use, the Public Safety Building being the highest energy user, followed by the KCDC, and it kind of goes on down. You can see this is from 2002 until the 2013. And you can see our peaks and valleys. The valley's getting, I would say, progressively higher. Anyways, there's a lot of ways to look at this, but it's just to kind of show where we are in relation to time. And then off to the right, I've got our Energy Star Portfolio Manager scores. So that's out of 100. So you can see our KCAB is performing very badly in the 21st percentile. So it's actually percentiles here. So 80% of buildings of its similar kind throughout the country are performing better than that. And it just goes on down. So we've decided to focus on the detention center first. It doesn't have a score just because it was a very unique building. And so we can just, it doesn't have a score. But after that, KCC has a very high score, but we think that that's not accurate. And then public safety building is kind of middle of the road. So those will be our first three big energy users that we're going to be looking at through our energy team. Yes?
How do you guys plan on eliminating energy usage throughout the buildings?
Well, that's exactly a very good question. So when we do an energy audit, so you'll see below, they actually come away with recommendations of how you can cut energy costs and energy use. So here you'll see this is for the detention center. I just put in 7. There was 10 recommendations originally. They want us to replace HID lighting. I wrote what that means so that we can have an intelligent conversation about these acronyms. But that's high intensity discharge lamp. So replacing some of those with LEDs, which are light emitting diodes. Audit the VAV functions. You'll see that building energy use and performance is very, very complicated. VAVs are variable, I guess I'm not sure, VAV, but the VFD are variable frequency drives. These deal with water and airflow, so they're pumps essentially that can either push air or push water, heat air, heat water. So these are some things that we need to do on our HVAC equipment, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. So anyways, it goes through and it just shows you a little bit about the energy savings that can be had. So we're going to be tackling a few of these lighting projects right away because the payback is very, very quick, 2 years, and we can save up to $9,000 by investing in our buildings. So we won't be necessarily doing all of them, but there's ways of doing this very strategically. So in addition to that, I mentioned the $10,000 LED lighting project that's underway, and I've got some figures on exactly where those lights will be installed. They're all for exterior parking lots. So if you're really interested in this stuff, come and find me, because I've got all kinds of information that's very technical. So thank you.
Gardening season is over, but
really?
What clued you in on that, right? But we had the garden season here at KCC was very, very successful this year. I don't know if Barb mentioned it in the October meeting, but the display garden won a national award for honorable mention for best inspiration. So that was kind of neat for the master gardeners that put all that time and effort and work into that project. We just wrapped up our program with the Boys and Girls Club, and very similar to what the girls were doing tonight here with the Cloverwood program. We had Master Gardeners go into Grant Elementary in the month of October and for their after-school program, the Boys and Girls Club, and we worked with probably about 20, 25 kids for 3 weeks, and we talked about gardening and plants and composting and worms, and they really enjoyed it. So that's basically what we've been doing, and then we're getting ready for Spring in the Gardening, which is the big Master Gardener program that we have in Kenosha County, that we offer a one-day educational event for gardeners, and they go over to West Kenosha Central High School for 1 day of a bunch of fun and exciting programming.
Did you learn anything with your fruits and vegetables out there in your, you know, because you
yeah,
your,
a lot, actually.
Yeah?
And raised beds are the way to go in Kenosha County. Everybody else's soils are like our soils here. Because a lot of the plants do not grow very well in our soils.
How about the different ways you had the raised beds contained, which worked best, or you don't know yet?
I would say that anything that was raised up off the ground did so much better than anything that we planted within the ground, the existing soil.
What about those straw bales? I know when we took the tour, we were all kind of looking at those straw bales. Was that, did it?
They fall apart?
They did fall apart. And Barb has recommended that we eliminate that from here. Some other type of barriers, so we're going to do that.
What kind of soil did you use when you raised the beds?
We used a mix. The Parks Department helped us out with that, and the Maintenance Department here in Kenosha County. And they got us the soil, and they got us the compost, and we just mixed them together. And it was basically half and half.
Okay.
So worked out quite well.
Okay.
Okay. I am going to reveal, if you didn't see, on the Sunday Kenosha News on October 12th, this was on the front page, and when you opened up inside the section, the section B, that's a lot of ink, folks. We got a lot of coverage, and I can't tell you how proud we are of that.
And it's color.
It is. It was just, we are just delighted. We, in all my years, I have never seen this kind of coverage of our UW Extension programs, and so we are extremely proud of that. I sent it to the dean and to the chancellor, everyone, and they all went, wow, that is really excellent. And I said, we're very proud of that. So I have to give all the credit to Jill Rozelle at the Kenosha News. It was her idea, and she spent all the time interviewing and taking photos with the photographers there at Kenosha News to give us that coverage. So it's been a good thing, and we're very proud of that. I'm going to announce that tomorrow will be the preliminary interviews for our agricultural educator position. And after tomorrow, we'll make a decision if there are candidates that we'll bring forward to the final interview, which is scheduled for December 4th. So if all goes according to plan, we'll have a new educator on board in January, so in the full-time position. Okay. I also just want to share that this is the month where youth and governance attendance is taken. So at the end of the month, I'll be contacting all of the committee chairs and get the attendance records. We'll present that to you here at the PDEC meeting in December, so you have a chance to see if we have any youth who are in jeopardy of losing their position on their committee. We'll also, I'll be sending you lots of documents so that you can review all the policies and procedures. Because if we were going to make any changes, we'd want to do it in December. Because January is the month when nominations go out, and youth, at that point, we want to be publicizing all of the current policies so youth know what to expect. I know we were just talking, Eddie and I, we think next week is the first Youth and Governance Buzz session,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Where all the youth are coming together. So if either one of you want to talk about what's going to be happening at that meeting.
So basically, it is going to be a buzz session for youth governance. And Maddie and I are developing questions, like icebreaker questions, trying to just get to know all the other youth and governance members and get to know what their experiences were like and whether or not they're similar to ours. And so far, I think I can speak for Maddie and myself. We really enjoyed our time here, and it's really educational. We're hoping that everyone else thinks the same.
And you'll be able to report back whether they do, right? You'll be able to let us know. Yeah, good. All right. That is all we have.
And unless there's any questions, I guess we'll have a motion to recess until 7 o'clock in the other room.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion made by Supervisor Decker, seconded by Supervisor Wessler to recess. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. See you in the other room.